an amazing reading that we've had today, and it'll be interesting to see what Jot's got for us today of what Yah has given him.
Okay. Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. Today I'm going to focus my drash on the timeless words of Yeshua HaMashiach, the one likened unto Joseph. Let us start with Matthew 9:13. But go learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. These words from Yeshua are packed full of meaning and can give us some valuable insights into the time in which Yeshua lived. But I'm going to focus on the question that was stirred within me by this statement. The question I asked myself was, why didn't Yeshua come for the righteous? I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, he says. Wow. Then the Spirit starts popping questions into my head. Do the righteous not need salvation? For that matter, what is salvation? What does it mean to be considered righteous by Yah? Can I strive towards a righteous life? And if so, what does that look like? Well, let's take a deeper look into what the Word says. What the Word says regarding righteousness. Next slide. The second slide. The next one. Back. Second slide, Malachi. Out of practice. Today's drash is going to be on part of the armor of Elohim. What is the prophetic nature of this breastplate of righteousness? Abraham is the father of our faith. There is a reason why Yehovah is the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob. It is written in Bereshit 15:6. Abraham walked with Elohim. Abraham believed Yehovah, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham walked with Elohim, and because of that walk, Yah counted it to him as righteousness. The word believed here is not just an idea in his head. He had a living, walking relationship with Yah. Yah asked a lot of Abraham, yet he continued to obey Yah even when it seemed like his promises would never happen. Just think, amongst other things, Yah asked Abraham to walk away from his paternal family, go into a wilderness to a land that he'd never seen, and that he would have a child even when it seemed impossible at the time. In Bereshit 26:5, it elaborates on this. Because Abraham shamad my voice, obeyed my regulations, commands, statutes, and Torah. Abraham was keeping the Torah before it was given to Moses at Mount Sinai. Righteousness was not imparted unto Abraham because he had a legalistic approach to Torah. It was counted to him because he loved Yehovah above all else. We sing it here every week. Love Yehovah with all your mind, body, and strength. Interestingly, the word used here to describe Abraham's behavior is Shema. Shema Israel, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. To Shema Yehovah is to hear and obey. There is nothing here about choosing what to obey and what not to obey. Neither for that fact do we need to first understand before we obey. Faith truly is blind sometimes, as we are expected to obey Yehovah, even when sometimes we don't completely understand. We read it in Romans today that it is your fair and reasonable service to offer your life up to Yehovah, even as Yeshua offered his life to him. To serve Yehovah how he sees fit and not how we see fit. If you do your Father's will with everything that you've got, then he will equip you for the battle. Today this portion is about the armour of Yeshua. May we all pray that his breastplate of righteousness be imparted onto us. Isaiah speaks of the breastplate of Yeshua in Isaiah 59:15-17. Malachi. Yehovah looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man. He was amazed that there was no one to intercede. So his own arm brought salvation and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate. This verse is a messianic verse, talking about the advent of Yeshua ben Joseph. Yeshua was sent to us to give us a perfect example of how to live out a righteous life in loving devotion to Yehovah. Righteousness is not some far-flung idea that's outside the reach of each and every one of you. It is your duty as a servant of Yehovah and a bride of the Mashiach to shine forth his righteousness every day. You know, it's up to the bride to make herself ready for the bridegroom and not the other way around. Most believers pray, "Come, Yeshua, come." The reality is that it's only the Father who can send Yeshua. Yeshua doesn't even know what the timing of his own coming, as it's written in Matthew 24:39. Malachi. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. See, the responsibility is on the bride to be ready to meet the bridegroom. Why hasn't Yeshua come in the last 2,000 years? It's quite simple, because the bride has not been walking out their life in righteousness. Only the Father can tell when the body of Mashiach is ready for the wedding feast of the Lamb. What's really exciting is that all around the world, Ephraim is waking up and starting to walk out their walk that is needed for the Father to present a righteous bride to the bridegroom. Hallelujah and praise Yah for opening our eyes to his magnificent Torah. Earlier on in Matthew, Yeshua gave us instruction on how to obtain righteousness in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is written that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of Yehovah. To hunger for righteousness is to be hungry for the Torah and the prophets. We understand that Yeshua is the Torah made flesh, and he is also the water of life. So thus, to be thirsty for the Torah, thus the Torah is the only thing that can quench your thirst. How much time do you spend every week in the Torah and the prophets? I mean, really immersed into it, not just listening to some opinion or preaching, but deep in meditation upon what Yehovah has said through his servants, the prophets. When, I'll be completely honest, when I first read the Bible, large portions of it made no sense to me whatsoever. I also struggled to get the Greek and Hebrew manuscripts to line up. However, over time and continued study, it all became clearer and clearer. In time, I've developed an unquenchable thirst and hunger for his word, and this should be the aspiration of all believers. An unquenchable desire for all things pertaining to Yehovah. It may take time to develop this, but the more you study the word, the hungrier and the thirstier you become. Funnily enough, it's the only thing that can quench you as well. In Matthew 5:10, it is also written, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." When this righteous breastplate is imparted onto you, it is inevitable that persecution will come. Why? Because those living in darkness cannot stand the light. As you become more like Yeshua every day, walking in righteousness, your light will start shining more and more brightly. The people of this world do not realize that they are so full of darkness. They will just persecute you because you're different. We are a peculiar people, not like the rest of the world. On the flip side, those that are seeking the light, but don't yet know Yeshua, Yehovah, or the Torah, will be drawn to you. You are peculiar, set apart, different from the world. The mere fact that you come here every week, be it physically or online, makes you different from the world out there. Because you are a servant to someone greater than this current age. The world out there just can't comprehend you. We've all experienced it, trying to explain what we do to the people of this world. The reality is that they can never understand us. And why is this? Well, Yehovah tells us in Shemot 19:5-6. Now, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession out of all the nations, for the whole land is mine. And unto me you shall be a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the Israelites. You are a treasured possession out of all the people on the earth. Think about that for a moment. Just like the kings of this world keep their most valuable treasures close to them at all times, so does Yehovah keep you close to him. It may not feel like it sometimes, but he is always there watching over his precious children. But a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy nation, now that's your Elohim speaking to you. And that is the level of righteousness he has called you to. It's to that level of a Kohen. Yah is very protective of his people, but there are conditions in place for this. If you will obey his voice and keep his commandments. To be a treasured possession of Yehovah, you must walk out a righteous life in line with the commandments, just as Yeshua did. Walking contrary to his commandments opens you up to attack from Hasatan and his minions, or as Paul puts it, the principalities and powers of wickedness in high places. Faith or belief in Yehovah and righteousness are hand in hand, for as written in Bereshit 15:6, Abraham believed Yehovah and it was credited to him for righteousness. You are seeds of Abraham and heirs to the covenant of promise. Abraham is the father of the faith, and his obedience to Yah's commandment was counted to him as righteousness. Honor your mother and your father is one of the Ten Commandments. Well, as seeds of Abraham, he is your father, and thus your walk needs to be in honor of his life. It's written in Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness leads to persecution, and persecution leads to the kingdom of Yah. The covenant of promise is the kingdom, and the kingdom of Yah are the same thing, that his people will live in his land, that's the whole region from the Euphrates to the Vadi of Egypt, otherwise known in the Greek scriptures as the millennial reign of Mashiach. As seeds of Abraham, that land is your birthright. He will take us there when his timing is right. But first, we must be willing to be fully transformed, to bring yourself into complete submission to Yah's will. You must attempt to emulate Yeshua with all your mind, body, and strength. In doing so, you may be judged worthy to bear his righteous breastplate and have it imparted onto you. His name is Yehovah. In Hebrew, a name implies characteristics. Both Abraham and Jacob had their names changed, and with that change in name came a change in their character or their purpose. The character and purpose of the name Yehovah can only be understood through the context of Torah. I'll say that again. The character and purpose of the name Yehovah can only be understood through the context of Torah. Let us look at Malachi 4:2. But for you who fear or reverence my name, Yehovah, the Son of Righteousness, Yeshua, will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go out and leap like calves from the stall. The true nature of Yeshua is seen only through those who have a reverence for the Torah. Then it's Yeshua who heals us from the pain inflicted on us by this world, so that we can walk in newness of life through him. Once we have this newness of life, then it's our responsibility to avoid sinning against Yehovah. On this path back to the Father, you will undoubtedly stumble and evidently sin. Thankfully, Abba gave us Yeshua to help us along the way, or as John put it in 1 John 2, 1-6. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Yeshua HaMashiach, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ourselves, but also the sins of the whole world. By this, we can be sure that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments or the Torah. If anyone says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, the Torah, he is a liar, and the truth or the Torah is not in him. But if anyone keeps his word, the love of Elohim has been truly perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to abide in him must also walk as Yeshua walked. There you have it, the way to a righteous life, by keeping the commandments. It's not enough to confess Yeshua, or Jesus as you like, as your Messiah. You need to remain in him. That takes time and an in-depth study of Yah's Torah. Even with all the study in the world, though, it counts for nothing if you are not walking that knowledge out every day. This scripture also gives your protection from deception, because John tells us that there is a checking mechanism to see if you are on the narrow path to life. You need to walk out your life even as he walked out his life. And that is in perfect obedience to the Father's will, which can only be found in the Torah. There is also a stern warning within John's words. If anyone says, I know him, but does not keep the Torah, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Remember, the Torah is supposed to be written in our hearts. According to John, anyone who does not walk out a life in obedience to Torah is a liar. Be very careful listening to any teacher that teaches against the Torah, as there are many wolves in sheep's clothing out there in the world. So what is salvation then? Many pastors teach that once you're saved, you go to heaven. Salvation is not a free ticket to heaven. Salvation does not somehow protect you from judgment day. Salvation is not a free ticket into the kingdom either. Salvation is not a license to sin. Salvation is open to all through the finished work of Yeshua ben Joseph, or the Messiah likened unto Joseph. He cleanses us of sin by being the spiritual red heifer. Then he passes us from death to life by being the spiritual Pesach lamb, which we're just about to celebrate in about a month's time as the Pesach. This finished work means the door to Abba's house is now open to you. You are then grafted into the olive tree that is prophetically Ephraim. Once you're inside Abba's house, you need to start learning the house rules, which can only be found in the Torah and the prophets. Yah keeps a very tight house. As he is holy, so we also need to be striving towards holiness. Remember, you are supposed to be a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy nation. Set apart from this world, not just like everyone else. This brings me to some daunting words spoken by Yeshua himself that can be found in Matthew 7, 21, 23. Slight technical difficulties. 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of lawlessness or Torahlessness. I want you to think about that for a minute. Think you know Yeshua all you want, but the level of intimacy Yeshua is seeking from you as the bride is perfect adherence to Abba's Torah. Not just lip service, but a living relationship, day to day. Walking out his mitzvot. Paul put it like this, walk out your salvation in fear and trembling. The study of and adherence to Torah is the only way to avoid being part of that group that are told, depart from him. You who work iniquity. Bear in mind, these believers prophesied, drove out demons, and performed mighty miracles all in the name of Yeshua or Jesus. Yet nothing they did counted for anything without walking out a righteous life in obedience to the Father's will. The world has been under a strong delusion for hundreds of years. It's called Christianity, and it was written about in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10-12. Because they refused the love of the truth, or the Torah, that would have saved them. For this reason, Elohim will send them a powerful delusion, so that they will believe the lie, in order that judgment may come upon all those who disbelieve the truth, or the Torah, and delighted in wickedness. Sheol has something to say about training in righteousness in 2 Timothy 3:6. All scripture is Elohim breathed and is valuable for teaching truth or Torah, for conviction of sin, correcting faults, and for training in righteousness. The question raised here, or the question I had within myself, is what are these scriptures specifically? Well, the Greek scriptures were not even written yet, so I can't be talking about them. The key is written within his words. Pure doctrine, as you like, has to come from the mouth of Elohim. Or as Paul puts it, he put it back up. Malachi. He put the slide back up. Elohim breathed. Yehovah's mouthpiece has always and will always be prophets. The Jews understood this well, as they separate all books into one of three categories. See, this one book that we've got here is not one book at all. It's many books. These three categories are the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. The Torah and prophets are what Paul states as Elohim breathed. while the writings are what would be considered wisdom text and not suitable for building doctrine upon. When it comes to the Greek text, the words of Yeshua and Yochanan would be added to the prophetic narrative, while the writings of the apostles would be considered wisdom texts. The complete Jewish Bible that we recommend here at Beit Gan Eden at the front separates all of the individual writings into these categories. Why is this important? Well, because Yeshua will be the Torah giver until Shiloh comes. And they've set down how we should study until then. Now that we have covered this foundational understanding, let's come back to the words of Yeshua in Matthew 6:33-34. But seek first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough troubles of its own. First seek the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, then all things will be added unto us. Nothing within the Torah has been done away with, not even the smallest part. The picture of the kingdom of heaven is outlined very clearly in the books of Moshe. The study of Scripture shows us all that just about everyone is surprised by what Yah does when he does it. He always seems to do things in a way that no one expects, yet at the same time he'll fulfill all his prophetic narratives. We, as his children, all must be prepared for a future coming about in a way that is quite different to how we believe it to be. How many blessings are we missing out on because we do not seek the kingdom first and Yehovah's righteousness? Abba, your will be done, not on our will on earth, but your will as it is in heaven. As I've already established, the perfect will of the Father is absolute adherence to the Torah. Every day, with every walking moment, we all have a choice to either walk in Torah or not. As we grow in our understanding of Torah, so does our accountability to that level of knowledge. How much of Torah is relevant to our walk today? Well, Yeshua tells us how much in Matthew 5:17-20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a single jot nor a stroke of a pen will disappear from the Torah till everything is accomplished. So then, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so, do likewise, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Not one of the smallest prophecies or mitzvot will pass away until we have a new heaven and a new earth. Well, last time I checked, according to Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth does not show up until after the millennial kingdom has reigned for 1,000 years. Or as Sean put it last week, last time I checked, we're still in the same heaven and earth. Does anyone think we're in a new heaven and a new earth now? No. Yeshua says that if you teach anyone that even one of the smallest parts of the Torah or the prophets has been done away with, you'll be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd prefer not to be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. Why do I stress all this to you? Because the kingdom is upon you. No one knows how much time we have left. You have another breath right now because Yah allows you to breathe again for another day. There is also some more harrowing words from Yeshua found in Luke 28. I tell you, among those born of women, there is none greater than John. Yet even the least in the kingdom of Elohim is greater than he. What? I want to read that again. I tell you, among those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least in the kingdom of Elohim is greater than he. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Well, we all have a lot of work to do to get to that level of obedience to Abba's will. One thing about Jokinen that Sean brought up last week is that he recognized when someone came along who had a higher anointing than him and he submitted to him. In that case, of course, it was Yeshua. According to Yeshua, the minimum standard we are all to be striving towards is that of Jokinen. Jokinen preached repentance, even unto his death. He was the rightful high priest, a Kohen in the line of Aaron, and a truly righteous man, and the only man who recognized Yeshua for who he really was. All my life, I've never liked mirrors. Couldn't understand it all my life, why I just could not stand mirrors. And then one day I was praying and the Spirit's like, you need to like that mirror. And I was like, what? I don't like mirrors. So I start looking in the mirror and in the clearest day, the Spirit's like, you need to look more like Yeshua every day. Start liking that mirror and start looking like Yeshua. That floored me, absolutely floored me. So what is salvation? Free ticket to heaven? Eternal life? Exemption from the judgment seat? Guaranteed entry into the millennial kingdom? I covered what salvation looked like in my last drash on the 19th to 12th, 21 in Vayeki. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, I urge you to go back into the archives and have a look. If you haven't watched the whole presentation, then this next slide may not make sense to you. This is what Yeshua's salvation has done. Ephraim, whose olive tree was torn out from its roots, has taken root again through the salvation offered by Yeshua ben Joseph. Without Yeshua, it is impossible for the sons of Ephraim to come home. Veiled in plain sight within this picture from Zechariah is also the key to the five wise virgins. The branch that feeds the olive oil into the menorah is Mashiach. The virgins need olive oil to keep their lamps alight. The first pressing of olive oil is used for keeping lamps alight or for burning in the menorah. The fuel, as you like, for your lamps as the virgin brides of Mashiach is the undefiled, pure word of Yah found in the Torah and the prophets. It's not just enough to have some oil. You need an ample supply to keep your lamp burning. You also need to trim your wick continually. The funny thing about the menorah is the wick is made up from the garments of the high priest. And Yeshua is our high priest. And the Spirit drove me on this as well. He's like, you need to look up what this trimming is, because the trimming is very important. Now, in order to keep a lamp going for longer, you need to trim the wick, which is all the dead bits on the top. You trim it and it burns longer, it loses less fuel. Now that trimming is about us. We need to trim off the things of this world and the things of man and the things that are not of Mashiach so we can become more like him. Now I want to go back to this idea of being a kingdom of Kohanim found in Shemot 19:5-6. Now, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession out of all the nations, for the whole land is mine. And unto me you shall be a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the Israelites. Now, what does it mean to be a kingdom of Kohanim? Well, Malachi 2:6-7 spells it out to us. The true Torah was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many away from iniquity. Torosus. For the lips of the Kohen should preserve knowledge, and the people should seek Torah from his mouth, because he is the messenger of Yehovah Savaot. A true Kohen's life is a living representation of the perfect will of Yehovah. Every utterance from your lips, every thought and action needs to be brought into line with Abba's perfect will. Take every thought captive and battle with the principalities and powers of wickedness. It takes time and patience with yourself, but it is absolutely achievable for everyone. I don't know if you feel it, brethren, but we're at war. In order to go to war, you need to be properly equipped for the battle, to withstand the fiery darts of Hasatan. Paul put it well in Ephesians 6:10-12. Finally, be strong in Yehovah and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of Elohim so that you can make your stand against Hasatan's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the world's darkness, and against spiritual forces and of evil in heavenly realms, with this breastplate of righteousness arrayed. Our battle is not physical, it is spiritual. You may be forgiven to thinking that Yah's army looks like this. Next slide. However, the truest warrior of Yehovah looks like this. This is where the rubber hits the road. You are part of Abba's family now, and as such, you are going to be attacked by the enemy. It's not a matter of if, but when. Our job as teachers of Yah's word is to prepare you for the battle. Your job is to overcome your preconceived ideas about Yah's word. All of us have been taught by well-meaning people or pastors things that don't really line up with Yah's will. I've got a question for you. If two believers say that the Holy Spirit told them something, but those two believers conflict with each other, then who is right? Well, we need to test every spirit. It may not be holy at all. There's not just one spirit out there. There's many spirits. You are to test what they have said against the Torah and the prophets. There can be no contradiction between the Torah and the prophets. If you can't find a resolution or believe that you have found a contradiction, then bring that to a minister and they will do their best to give advice on the matter. In saying that, they are not all perfect and all should be open to correction to the scriptures as well. There is only one who is perfect, and that's Mashiach, Yeshua ben Joseph. Central to the breastplate of the high priest is the 12 tribes of Israel. He has 12 stones on his breastplate. Thus, understanding what has happened to the 12 tribes is central to putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Renew your mind and understand where we are in the context of history. The Torah and the prophets will start to light up more and more the more you open up your mind and your heart to the prophetic narrative and reject the precepts of man. We stand at a point when the two olive trees are starting to shine forth. But in order to enter the kingdom, we need to have the 12 tribes re-established. Who are the 12 tribes now? Well, Yehovah says that he'll restore them, so we don't have to worry about it. At this stage, you just have to pick a tree, Judah or Ephraim. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, that you may rightly divide the truth, or as Paul puts it in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to Elohim, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth or the Torah. He goes on in verse 2:22, flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, love, faith, and peace, together with those who call on Yehovah out of a pure heart. Yes, a pure heart. There is only one who is said to have a heart after Yah's own, and that was David. What is it about David that makes him this way? Well, for my part, as soon as David realized that he'd sinned against and transgressed the Torah, he repented and turned himself over to Yehovah. The psalmist often speaks about righteousness. I love this Psalm 37, 27 to 31. Turn away from evil and do good, so that you will abide forever. For Yehovah loves justice, and he will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of a righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The Torah of his Elohim is in his heart. His steps do not falter. This psalm speaks volumes about what it is to have a heart for Yehovah. It also confirms that it is the righteous who will inherit the land. That land does not belong to the Jews. It belongs to Yehovah. And his children only have a right to live there as long as their governance is run in accordance to Torah. Otherwise, it will vomit them out. Interestingly, the psalmist also points out that the Torah is to be in our hearts. Now, most messianics come out of Christianity. With that, we all know that we have inherited lies and falsehoods. The challenge is that one of Christianity's teachings is that everyone just needs to be led by the Spirit. Now, while being led by the Spirit has always been important, if you are not open to be corrected to the Torah, then you could easily be led astray. This is why we need to be in the Word more and more. Acts 15, 19 to 21 gives us the foundation of our faith. Slide, please. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not cause trouble for the Gentiles who are turning to Elohim. Instead, we should write to and tell them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immoralities, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been proclaimed in every city from ancient times and is read in the synagogue on every Sabbath. You are here to learn Moses in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Funnily enough, that's one of the reasons that drew me to this congregation in the first place, was that you taught Moses every single Sabbath. Yah has given us the internet, so we can have a synagogue with all of you, regardless of where you live in the world. A synagogue is a place of learning. This is the basis from which our education system was built. Maybe think of your time here on Shabbat as a degree in righteousness. After all, you are here to learn the meaning of life. It is the most important thing that you will do in your life. Everything else pales into insignificance compared to your understanding and implementation of Yah's perfect will. The Sabbath is an appointed time with your King, your Messiah, your people, and your family. We are all children of Yah, and I, for one, want to spend more time getting to know each and every one of you, especially those online. Let us finish how we began with a focus on Yeshua, this time from Luke 4:16. Then Yeshua came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and according to his custom, which is a habit or tradition, he entered into the synagogue on the day of the Sabbath and stood to read. It was Yeshua's habit, custom, or tradition, as you like, to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Walk even as he walked. We travel down from Brisbane almost every week. We have room in our car for others if you need a lift. I'm sure there are others in this room that would do the same from their particular location. We are all here to support each other. You just, like Tamar said, you just need to reach out and contact us and ask for help. I understand that there's some of you who cannot physically be here every week for some reason or another. But praise Yah, he gave us the internet so that we can have a broad congregation from anywhere within the creation. We all pray for Yeshua to come. Well, the word says it's the bride who has to make herself ready. Ask your Father, what else can I do to make myself ready to meet the bridegroom? We just heard testimony before that your prayers will be answered and he will let you know what he needs from you. It was JFK who said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what can you do for your country. We are all Israel, Hebrews, and seeds of Abraham, and heirs to the kingdom of heaven. It is time to put on the full armor of Yehovah so that you can be ready to meet the bridegroom. You know, everyone has the right to worship their own gods. Yah gives everyone a free choice. As for me and my house, we will serve Yehovah, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Or Jacob. Any questions? So many. Come on. Funnily enough, I bring a book every week because I can't keep track of everything that he gives me. So I write it in a book and then I can go back over it. And I carry that book around with me everywhere. Because a weird place, I'll be walking down the supermarket, I'll pull it out from Jackie. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. Yah's just giving me something to write down. Like I said, synagogue is a place of learning. Just where that's where the education system come from. So you're here to learn. When I first started here, I was always taking notes, asking questions of Tamar, you know, probably pushing the boundaries a bit much, but that's my nature. Any questions that you can get? Yeah.
Now you can see how ignorant I am.
Just pick up the microphone, don't you, Jim?
I just wanted to know what a mitzvah is.
Mitzvot is like the commandments. Yeah. So there's a whole lot of mitzvot. Some say 613, but those 613 vary between rabbis. So you've got the ten, like the two commandments, to love Yehovah with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. Then you've got the ten, and then from there it goes down to what they call the 613. But that's, you know, disputed what the 613 are. But it's all of them, like your food laws and doing Pesach and that sort of thing.
I think one of the most important things is to realise just to be here on Shabbat is observing his commandment. And Shabbat is the most important commandment. You see, it's part of Torah to honour the seventh day and keep it holy. Shabbat, or the going into the synagogue, the Beit Knesset, the House of Assembly, that's all that was available until Antiochus IV came along and started the worship of the sun god Zeus. That's how Sunday worship came into being. So when we read the scriptures today, they were and the Gentiles were told to refrain from fornication and from
blood
and from strangling animals, etc., etc. It's because they were already worshipping on Shabbat, because that was the only day they could worship anyway. So when we look at when I look at someone coming into starting up to learn about the mitzvot, I think the most important one is to remember the fact that you're observing Shabbat, you're doing excellently. That's your first step. The second one is to, yes, the Shema, is to hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. We have no other God but Jehovah. The third is to look at Leviticus 11 and see what foods are clean and unclean, and live according to that. Because it's a progress. It's a work that takes time. You cannot observe every part of the Torah just by in one go.
Yeah.
Because the Torah is a work that changes with your situation.
Yeah.
Because if you're single, you have a different part of Torah to observe than if you were married. If you are widowed or divorced, you've got a different part of Torah to observe than if you were married or single.
Yeah, not every mitzvah is relevant to you. There's only
you
ones
see?
That are relevant
and like
to you.
Yeshua only observed the Torah that was applicable to him. He couldn't do the things of a Kohen or a rabbi or a scribe or a Pharisee. He wasn't one of those. So you've got to not put too much pressure on yourself, but just go one day at a time, observing Shabbat, doing excellently, great job. Okay, now look at Leviticus 11. Am I eating pork? Am I eating things out of the ocean or camel or crocodile or
rabbit.
Whatever, but it's not of Yah. Okay, so we've got to look at, am I eating anything out of the ocean that doesn't have scales or fins? Then I've got to let that go. Okay? Am I eating something that chews the cud? That's got a cloven hoof that doesn't... Yeah, that has a cloven... Doesn't have a cloven hoof. So, am I eating...
Kangaroo.
Can't eat kangaroo.
Yeah.
It's got paws.
Yeah.
Okay? Can't eat... You can't eat...
Pork,
you can't
rabbit.
Eat pig because it's got a cloven hoof, but it doesn't chew the cud.
Yeah.
You can't eat camel because it chews the cud, but it doesn't have a cloven hoof.
Yeah.
So the Torah is there and tells you what you can eat and what you can't eat.
And that's what
clean and what is unclean. And even Noah, when he had the ark, knew what animals were clean and unclean.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Acts was all about. It's like, don't burden people too much with all of the mitzvot, all of the rules and regulations. Just stop from eating, like it said, you know, the blood and, you know, focusing on that Leviticus 11, the foods. You know, you're doing Shabbat already, so that's great. And then everything else you learn here. You
and
can't
one
expect
step at
to
a
learn
time.
All in one day. It's not possible. It takes years and years of study. And every single year I'm here, every single Torah portion, I learn something new. It never, ever stops. And that's the beauty of it, is it always, it's a deepening relationship. And that's why we're a family.
I'd just like to add one comment with regard to, in Leviticus 11, the terminology of clean and unclean. It actually defines what is food. And a way of understanding that is that what is called clean, that is actually food. This shall be food for you. The rest is edible, but it's not food.
Yeah.
And parents have, we all understand the idea you've got food and you've got junk food. That's the earthly sort of version, but the heavenly version is this is food and the rest isn't.
I mean,
might have to eat it under some circumstances.
In Australia, I mean, we're not really debating about eating dog or rat or anything like that. You know, it's basically pork and shellfish is the main ones. There's a few fish that you've got to watch out for because there's catfish, like anything that's a catfish. Like I think it's a ling or something in the shop. So you've got to watch out with them.
It's got to have scales.
Scales and fins.
Bassa is
dangerous.
Scales and fins. If it doesn't have scales and fins, it's not. That's what the Torah says.
But like I said, you need to be patient with yourself. It takes time. It takes study. And as your knowledge increases, so does your accountability for that knowledge. Yah doesn't hold you to the same accountability as someone who's been studying for 10 years or whatever. He holds them to a totally different level of accountability because he knows you're just, in his eyes, you're still a little child. As you grow up, you have more responsibility, more is required of you. But yeah, just take time with yourself and just study. And like I said, take notes, ask questions. That's what it's all about. Like everyone here will answer your questions.
Sorry,
like.
Love
it.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I feel like I'm, you know, taking over a lot more time than I should. But
no.
Jot. That was amazing. Your teaching was great. It you know, went with exactly what I was feeling and what, you know, I pretty much cleared the stage for you to do your thing, as I was telling Jacqueline. I'm sure she'll tell you more about it. But while I was talking to Jacqueline and listening to you, an image came to me, and I really wanted to share it with you guys because I couldn't get it correct earlier. About how Yah was guiding me through it, and it came to me like it was so clear, and it was like day and night. Yah is my son, and when I was going through what I was going through, he took the sun away, and I still had the moon there, and I had a little bit of light, but it was all your prayers. And all your thoughts that were lighting my way. The path was there. The path was clear. He had the path for me. But every step I took, anyone that came and prayed for me, your light was shining through so I could be guided through the mountain. And that's what he showed me, that we're all connected, that, you know, our lights shine through to help each other in the darkness. And that's why he kept me in that darkness, because he wanted me to see your light. Because Yeshua says we're all connected, and he needs our light to shine in the darkness. And it's a testimony that, you know what, darkness is coming, but our light will guide us all through together. And I think it's a testimony for us as a team to come together, that we can help and guide anyone in this congregation and people that are watching online or hearing it, because I believe that he's going to send us more believers, and this exercise was to keep us strong and keep us together. And I believe that our light is shining stronger than ever. Preferably not me in the darkness next time, please. Yeah. Pick somebody else. No, not dibs on me, please.
He tests those that he loves, remember.
Yeah, I think I've done good. I think I'm done. I think I'm done for the next 10 years.
Baruch Hashem, yeah. With Sean a couple of weeks ago and Ivory, and Sean's like, yeah, sometimes I just like to feel a little less love. You know, we're talking about testing, you know. Sometimes you just feel like, just ease it off a bit.
I completely agree. But like, he has been very good to me, and he has overly blessed me. So it was about time that he used me to bring us all together. And I praise and glorify him. And I thank you again with the bottom of my heart for all you guys. You were the light in my darkness when he hid himself. But he had complete faith that you guys would be there, and thank you so much for being there, because I would have been lost in the darkness.
That's what family is for.
It's also in that darkness that Yeshua is carrying you, and it's only his footsteps that are seen in the sand.
Well, he's the pathway.
That's right.
He was the pathway.
It's only his footsteps.
Yeah, and he was always there, but with Yah not being there, I needed your light in the darkness.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly what you said. I needed Yeshua was there. He was the path that was guiding me, but I needed everyone, every single one of you guys. Even if you had 1 second to pray for me, even if you thought of me for a second and said, oh yes, Shab, you know, yeah, I hope, you know, you heal her from cancer. It didn't matter. I know you did, but you know, every second counted. I know that people are busy. I know not everyone has time to pray, but Yah looks at us, like Jot was saying, with what we can offer. So a person who can pray 12 hours in a day, to a person who's working, who's got commitments, who can just spare 5 minutes of the day, it is still like you've prayed that that whole 12 hours because that's what you can offer. So every prayer was an offering and a light to my darkness. Thank you so much.
Well, that's what Yeshua was talking about when he was the old lady at the well. And she's given more than everyone else because she's given everything that she has versus someone who might put in, you know, monetary-wise, 50 times what she has, but that's not relevant.
Exactly. So it all counts. The 5 minutes that you can spare for somebody, it's like you've given 12 hours of your time. Yeah. And nothing. I know.
All right. Well, we'll move on. I just want... Spirit gave me something about the Sabbath just there. The one thing that was interesting about the Sabbath is that's what Pharaoh was annoyed about with Moses, is because he said, you make the Israelites rest. And that's Shabbat. The first thing Moses did was say, you have to keep Shabbat. And I don't know about you guys, but that's the first thing I did. And everyone I talk to, that's the first step you make in this walk is Shabbat.
Yep.
And then it goes from there, and it builds from there, and it just grows. Okay, let's move into Yeshua Remembrance Service. Hear, the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I'll put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people.